12, and we're at the Mishnah 31. Makom shenagu lichpo yichpo, the place in how where they the custom is to double up a phrase, you double it up. Lipsho to say it one time. Levarich achrav minigas to make a bracha afterwards. Yevarich and make a bracha. Tako kuminagam dira. Everything based on the custom of the location. How careful mechaver b'shvi'ah some to buy zula from his friend during shmita, since one is forbidden to do trade with her shmita fruit. So no single esker matzani. You have to give him the esker as a gift. Shana Rashad Lukob b'shvi'ah, because one is not permitted to buy. Actually, we did all this yesterday. I realized we got a few further down, but well, so we'll just run through it. Rabbi Shmuel Chanamar Hallelujah, V'Chanamar Hallelujah. Okay, it's Machlokas, whether it's one word or two words. Madamar Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Nechlak. It can be divided in half because it's two separate words. Very Nimcha, but you can't erase the Yurk, you can't erase it because the Yurk is Kodesh. Madamar Hallelujah, Nimchak, it could be erased because it's not Kodesh. Vayner Nechlak, but it can't be divided in two. Lo Yodin, we do not know Manamar Do. We don't know who said which opinion. Since Rav said, I heard from my uncle, I'm eating the Yodin Sefer Tilim Shal Rabbi Meir. If somebody gives me Sefer Tilim, even written by Rabbi Meir himself, Mochi Kani, who was a scribe, Mochi Kani is called Hallelujah Shabo. I'll erase all the Hallelujahs with initially scribing the Kachem because there's no intent to make them holy. Heavy Duama Hallelujah, Rav must be the person who writes Hallelujah as one word. Milan Rabbanan Pligin. Now, rabbis argue on both these opinions. Some Rabbi Simon Meshem, Rabbi Shulman Levi, Rabbi Simon Tanim, Rabbi Shulman Levi, Ba'asol Lashoyna Shushvach, Nemer Sefer Tilim. Sefer Tilim was written with 10 languages which praise God. Yishur, that's Ashrei, Nitzuach, that's Lamnatzeach, Binigun, that's Binginos, Bishir, Bin Mizmor, Behaskel, Berina, Besoda, Betzvila, Bracha, all these 10 languages. Hamu'usha Shemkul, and the best of them is Hallelujah, Shashem V'ashavachulim Bo. It has both name and praise, so it's one word, but it can have the connotation of the two words as well. Yes, it is, because especially since one of the languages was Ashrei. Yes, it is weird. Okay. So in any event, Rabbi Zira boy kumi Rabbi Avo. Rabbi Zira asked in front of Avo, manani. So how do we do it? Lemaisa. Okay. Halach lemaisa. Is it two words or is it one word? How do we respond? Amalei. So he said, Rabbi Abba Siper. It should be Siper, not Kiper. So Rabbi Abba Siper kumi. Rabbi Abba told me over. That Rabbi Yoina ani hachein v'hachein, either one, it works both ways. Also Rabbi Lezer, the low is a typo. It should be ani hachein v'hachein, either one. So the truth is, you can say it either way. Either way counts. How you can say hallelujah and you can say hallelujah. Doesn't matter. It doesn't have both connotations. I remember once I was in Shal Vim, and the Rosh Hashiva, Mr. Zucker behind us, is a sitter. Can you reserve, please? The Rosh Hashiva pointed out, no, it's Chumash. Yeah. The Rosh Hashiva there said, they asked once in a beer tefillah class, he asked, there's a line and we say in davening. He asked, what does it mean? Of course, we never pay attention to what we say in davening, so I never thought of it before. And it says, after Yishtabach, we say, Tov Yotzar Kavod Lishmo. Right? Believe me, it's there. We say it every morning. Okay? It says, Tov Yotzar Kavod Lishmo. So what does it mean? Does it mean, the good one created, give praise to his name? Or does it mean, Tov Yotzar, he created good things, to Kavod Lishmo, give praise to his name? So which one is it?
Second one, yeah.
So the truth is, it's probably the second one, but it really can be both. It's no, there's no way of there's because if you especially look at context, Kel Baruch Gedol De Achinu Falzerei Chama Tov Yotzar Kavod Lishmo. Right. So it sounds like it could be either. It could be that just like we began before Kel Baruch. So too here could be Tov Yotzar. He was good and he created. But the bottom line is there are many phrases like this during davening, which can have both connotations. And he said, you know, sometimes here, sometimes we'll hear, I don't know if he, I'm skeptical of the Rosh Hashiva himself had such great kavanah, but he said, sometimes it's kavanah some way and sometimes it's kavanah the other way. But that's what he said. So here too, you can have kavanah once haluka, and once haluka. Rab b'shem Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Abba bar Chana b'shem Rab said, going back to our Mishnah, that we are yotzei halal when you listen to somebody else, but who shana rosh prokim? But you have to say the beginning of a stanza. We still retain the flavor of that when we answer hodu Hashem ki tov kilom chazdo after the end of every, after, you know, Yom HaYisrael, Yom HaYisrael, Yom HaYisrael, Yom HaYisrael, after each one we answer hodu Hashem ki tov kilom chazdo, that's the Rosh Perek. That's the beginning of that chapter. So we're all on a rosh prokim on each one of them. Okay? Rabbi Zira boy, for Hailu Nina Rosh Prokim. Rabbi Zira asks, what's an example of that, other than the one I just gave you? It says Rosh Prokim, Aluka Alu Avdei Hashem, Alu Hashem Hashem, which is the beginning of the first paragraph in Hallel. So that, you know, if you say, as you go on through, so then the Chazan says something, and you say, Aluka Alu Avdei Hashem, Alu Hashem Hashem. The Chazan says something, you say that again, and so on and so forth. How do you know that even if you heard and you did not respond with the refrain that Yotze? The word Shomer Kona does not require response. The common misconception is many people have the after answer Amen in order to fulfill Shomer Kona. It's not true, right? You just have to hear. The Amen is icing on the cake. You don't actually have to respond in any way, sure, before you can be completely passive. So I know it's true. Amar Leitz, so he said, I'll tell you, Min Ma'adana Chamin Rabbanu Rav Ravaya, we see great rabbis, Kaimim B'Tzipur, standing in the Tzibur. V'ilei Nomin, and these say, Boruch Habo. V'ilei Nomin, the others say, B'Shem Hashem. V'elu V'elu Yetzim Dechavos, and they both fulfill their obligation. So we see that Boruch Habo, and they say B'Shem Hashem, and they didn't respond with a refrain. I say Baruch Abba, you say B'Shem Hashem, we're both Yotze. So that means we just listen to each other without repeating any refrain, we're still Yotze. You know, I just realized something which I never, based on this Yerushalmi, I don't think this Yerushalmi, anything like this ever appears in the Bavli. This thing about Hapsukim. I certainly don't remember it. But it's interesting because there's a place where we actually come to the problem of saying half a pasuk, you know, kol pasuk lo paski Moshe Aaron lo paskinam lei. When we say Hallelu Shem Hashem ki yizgov shmo levado, so that's the Chazan says. The congregation answers hold eretz v'sho hodo eretz v'shamayim. Now it's actually, here's another case where we don't pay attention to what we're supposed to say. It's really two pesukim. Yahalu Hashem Hashem ki yizgov shmo levado hodo eretz v'shamayim. Period. So it's actually two separate psukim. What? Right. So because you've been led astray all these years. That's why you come here, to learn the truth. But,
this was not
about the Bavli. No, it's not about the Bavli. So the thing is, I'm just checking the Hillim here to make sure I've got that right. The truth is, if we paid attention, it's one of Psukei de Zimra, actually. It's in Psukei de Zimra, it's the second to last Haluka. The third to last, the middle one. It's there it is, Yalu Hashem Hashem Yizgosh Mado Odeh Tzim Shamayim V'Rankei Lamo Tilo Chosam Neisran Kvo Haluko. So at any event, so here it's Kol Pasuk Lo Paskei Moshe Lo Paskei Lei. So actually what I've been doing for several years is I say Halu together with the Chazan, right, in order to avoid the problem of chopping a Pasuk in half, which is not proper. But based on what the Yerushalmi is saying,
what really the proper limud zchus is that they say, we see here, if I say Baruch Abba, you could say B'Shem Hashem. So too, if I say Yahweh Hashem Hashem Ki Yizkav Shol Ado, and you answer Hodu Al Eretz V'Shem, Hodu Al Eretz V'Shem, and you're listening to me and I'm listening to you, so we're both conglomerate a pasuk together, and that works too.
Is that the way Achikness
is like a dollar? I don't know if Achnos, I don't know if the Achnos the Sefer Torah is that ancient. I doubt it. I can't imagine necessarily it's from Achikness Hakdolah.
Do you think it's a printer's error?
It's about, it's not a printer's error, it's a minhag tolos which became, unless it's justified based on the Yerushalmi. That's the way to justify it. Okay?
Second halal is they don't say the whole of Shem. It's not written in the pasuk. We say the Yom Ha'Israel and the Yom Ha'Israel doesn't say the whole of Shem in many pasuk.
Well, all the almost all the Jews say.
Oh, you mean in between?
They don't have the refrain. That's true. I don't know why they don't have it there, but.
I think the article came out.
I don't know. Tarichir. In any event, no, there it is in the small print. Tai Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Yoshua. We learned Rabbi Yoshua says, Onu Adam Amen Ava Bishlo Ochal. Person can answer Amen to a bracha even though he didn't eat. Obviously, that's a chiddush, right? So, do you hear somebody make a bird pray? You can answer Amen. It's not Shomei Kona just because you answered Amen, right? So that's okay. But you can't say Baruch Shachal Mishlo Tavochinu in response to a zimun if you didn't eat. There's actually a nusach you're supposed to say. I don't remember the exact nusach, but it's something like Baruchum Varoch Shem Elokeinu Tamid Olam Voed, something like that, which you answer if you hear a zimun and you didn't eat. So you take out the word achalnu and say Baruchum Varoch or something like that. And if there are 10 people, then you want to say Olokeinu. Tani, we learned. Ain onim amen yisayma v'lo amen katufa. You don't say amen yisoma, an orphaned amen, nor an amen katufa. Now, an amen katufa is when you drop the nun. You say amen. That's no good. Doesn't properly express the amen, which is to express our emunah on this bracha. And ezu amen yisayma, what's amen yisayma, which you can't answer. Am ravuna ha'hein, d'chayelim b'varcha. There's an individual supposed to make a bracha, but you don't hear him make the bracha. You just hear everybody else answering Amen, and you join in. V'ani v'lo yada mau. It's Amen is affirming a bracha which you just heard. You didn't hear the bracha. How are you going to answer Amen?
Same thing with a kaddish also.
Right. Same thing with a kaddish. Exactly the same thing. Tani, here's another interesting one. This is also not in the Bavli, I think. Tani brings down here from the Medrash Rabbah. Tani, Akum Shabirach Hashem. If you hear a goy say, "Blessed is God, our Lord," Onim Achrav Amen. You say Amen to him. So I don't know by Christians how you know he's not.
Yeah,
I don't know if you mean, but I don't think they mean Yoshka. I think when they say God, when they say mean Yoshka, they say Yoshka. I don't think when they say God, they mean Yoshka. That's my impression.
It's expressing one element of this Trinity, which is okay as long as you're expressing the right element. No, but I'm saying it's
one out of three is pretty good in baseball.
So that each of the three parts is like a characteristic. It's like a more pronounced characteristic, but it's really a unified whole.
Yeah, but they really don't know what that means. Nobody knows what that means.
They call it the mystery of the Trinity.
Yeah,
like the
mystery of the rubbish. But the hypothetically, well, let's say by a Muslim, if not by
that you cannot just because they say God, it doesn't mean they refer to only God.
I understand. So then he wouldn't be able to answer Amen to a Christian, and that's what it says here. A b'shem Now, the Gemara is chopped off, actually chopped off here. The Pnei Moshe brings the full version. It should say, if you hear Kuti, a Samaritan, making Baruch Hashem, because they were idolaters, and they had, even when they worshipped their gods on their idols on Har Grizim. So therefore, you can't answer Amit their bracha, which according to you would be the same thing by a Christian.
If you hear an Arab say Allah Akbar, don't stick around to say Amen.
You know
the
Allah? You know the Brisker joke?
No.
I'm sure you know the Brisker joke. I'll tell it to you anyway. So Brisker was, Arab comes to kill a Brisker, and, it's
Kasha and Mice, or an Arab kill Brisker, okay? But he comes to kill a Brisker, right? And the Brisker says, Arab's going to come, so makes a bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, okay, Melchom, Hashem, Shem, Sof, Tivaro, Kiddush, Hashem, mitzvah, mitzvah, to die, Kiddush, Hashem, make a bracha. So the Arab hears him mumbling these words in Hebrew, he gets all frightened, he runs away. So the Brisker runs after him and says, Welcome, Brisker runs after him and says, Half steak. So in any event, I don't know, I'm not so sure. Certainly don't tell him that I said it. He might appreciate it. He has a sense of humor. If a guy blesses you, aneach rav amen.
Answer him, amen. The chesiv it says, baruch tiyem mikol ha'amim. You should be blessed. Now, we normally understand that, the way I normally understood the pasuk, and I could be I'm wrong, is you should be blessed over and above all the nations. But the way he's teaching it up, you will be blessed by all the nations. All the nations will bless you. A certain guy met Rabbi Shmuel and bracha. Amar leisi said, "Kfar milas chamura." Concerning you, our chumash has already spoken. Acher paga bokil. Another person met him and cursed him. Amar le kfar milas chamura. Your words is also already spoken in chumash. Amar le tamidoi. So his tamid said, "Rabbi, hechmata amartu l'adildein, amartu l'adildein." How can you say the same thing to both of them? Right? One of them was a good guy, one of them was a bad guy. Why did you say the same to both? So Maloney said, "For lo king Sif, doesn't it say that? It says, Orecha arur and varchecha baruch. Those who give you curses are cursed, and those who give you blessings are blessed. So the guy who blessed me, I gave a blessing. The guy who cursed me, I gave a curse by invoking this pasuk." Rabbi Hayakofel Badvarim. Rabbi used to double Ona Hashem Moshiyana, like we do Ona Hashem Moshiyana, Ona Hashem Mitzlichana. Rabbi Lezer and Paratha Poshid Badvarim used to, now here Poshid means literally, it doesn't mean what it says literally. Literally means that he would only say once, not repeat it. But here actually means that he used to expand the repetitions and move up to Odcha and expand and say Odcha twice, not just from Ona Hashem Moshiyana and on, but rather from Odcha and on as our minhag today. When Rabbi Lezer said, the Zikne HaGolili, like the elders of Golil said, this is going back to our Mishnah, which talked about the Esrog business of Esrog and Shemitah. What did they say? The Zikne HaGolil Omer, the elders of Golil said, Oslim Solim Mishu Choshal Shvitas, when it's forbidden to give to some you suspect on Shemitah, Muslim states Udas money for 2 meals. For more than 2 meals. Why is that? Because they're afraid that they're going to not use it for food. For the next 2 meals, Chazal allowed you to do business with Amor and Shemitah for the amount of the equivalent, up to the amount equivalent of 2 meals worth. Because you can assume then he won't use the money to reinvest, because money now is Kedusha Shvius, but he used the money rather to buy food, which is legitimate. However, above and beyond 2 meals, you can't. So, Gemara is assuming that, that's what Zikne Golil said. So the Gemara is assuming that, we're talking about, according to Zikne Golil, who say that anything above 2 meals, you cannot give to that price to an Amoritz. And that's what Gemara is talking about, about the price, a little bit over the price of 2 meals. So like $10, something like that. So therefore, you can't give him that much money, anything above the cost of 2 meals, and That includes the Ezra, because he might abuse the funds. On Ramas, Ramas said, no, Tipata Divya Kol, if you go even like Rabbanik, she was stroking the Kor Biyoker. When the Srogim are sold for much more expensive, because as the Korban Eda points out, that even Rabbanon holds now to give him more than 3 meals. Machlok is whether I can give him between 2 or 3 meals. But be it more than 3 meals, I can't give him for sure, because he's for sure going to abuse the funds or use it for some other purpose other than buying food. So therefore, it's about here, the Nesser, which is sold, the rare case which Nesser was sold for more than the value of 3 meals, and that's why you cannot give that money to an Amoritz. Okay? Kehadah, now this Kehadah is telling us that a proof that you can give an Esrog as a gift. In other words, it said in our Mishnah that you pay for the Luv, you get the Esrog as a gift. How do you know that get an Esrog as a gift? So Kehadah, it says, Trugnaya, Havim with Tzavtzafim. Trugnaya is a Srogim. Trungia, Ham Tzavtzfin, they were tzafuf, they were pressed, meaning that they were pressed to find a srogim. There weren't enough srogim in town. And Tava to have Tama over there, the Hava Rav Nachum Yaakov, Rav Nachum Yaakov was there. You have a srogim at Tunnel Libray, and his son didn't have an esro, so he gave his esro as a gift to his kid. A kid, Amalei, he said, when you acquire it, when you fulfill a mitzvah, he rarely give it back to me. So he gave his kid, and Esrog goes to Matan Amanas Lahachzir. So we see from this, you don't have to actually purchase an Esrog. Right? I might have thought you must pay for the Esrog. So here we see that you don't have to actually pay for the Esrog, you can get it for a Matan as well. And that's why in Shemitah, you always give the Esrog as a gift to whoever buys the Lulav. Okay? Shiva. Originally, the lulav was taken to the Beis Hamikdash for 7 days. Medina and beyond the Beis Hamikdash, Yom Echad, one day. Nishkor Beis Hamikdash, when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, Hiskarab Yochem Etzak, Yochem Etzak, Meire Tzakone, Shei lulav Nito, Medina Shiva, that the lulav should be taken all 7 days, even outside the Beis Hamikdash. Zechle Mikdash, to commemorate the Beis Hamikdash. Vishay Yom Anefa, the day in which the Omer was brought, Kul also should be completely forbidden. Chodesh only becomes mutter the next day. Yom Tov Rishon Shachal is b'Shabbos. If the first day Yom Tov comes on Shabbos, Kol Am Olichim Es Lulavein LeBeis HaKnesses. The entire nation would bring their lulavim to the shul. Lemachas the next day Mashkim Uboyin Kol Echov. They come early, which is Shabbos morning, because they can't carry Shabbos, they have to leave it there. Kol Echov Echov Makir Shul. Each person recognizes his own lulav, v'noitel, and he takes it. B'vnei She'amru, because they said, Ein Otav Yetzi Dechavasu Lulav Shul Chaver B'yotav Yishul Chag. A person cannot fulfill the mitzvah with his friend's lulav. On the first day of Yom Tov, he has to possess it. So each one has to recognize his own lulav. And Mashpia points out a very interesting thing here. It says that the Yerushalmi is different than the Bavli in the Mishnah. In the Bavli, it says B'nei She'amru Chachomim, and here in the Yerushalmi it says She'amru. It says Yerushalmi's gears is much better, because this is not Amru Chachamim. Chachamim didn't apply. It's Derabbanan. But you must own your lulav the first day d'oraisa. It's not just the Derabbanan. So therefore, he says the Amru is not Amru Chachamim, but rather the Shamashim in the Beis HaKnesses. The Shamashim would tell people, remember which was your lulav, because the next tomorrow you have to come back here and take your own lulav, because for the first day of Yom Tov you have to take your own lulav. Okay. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Ishan Shachag Shachal Yos B'Shabbos. Rabbi Yosef says the first day of Yom Tov comes on Shabbos. Shachvot is the lulav of Rishus Rabbi. You forgot and took out your lulav to Rishus Rabbi. Potter, you're exempt. B'nei Shotir B'Shus, because you took it out with permission. What does it mean with permission? Because of the mitzvah. So Gemara is going to ask what exactly it means that because of the mitzvah you have permission. Does it real permission or not fake permission?
Taking out after you've used it.
That's Gemara is going to ask. Ksiv. It says, "Usmachtem lifnei Hashem l'kerem Moshiyavas Yom." Rejoice before God, your Lord, 7 days. What's the joy in this pasuk? Istani tani. So lifnei Hashem is in the Beis Hamikdash. What's the joy mentioned in this pasuk in the Beis Hamikdash? Istani tani. Those who said b'simchas lulav akosam medaber. They're talking about the joy of taking a lulav, and that's 7 days in the Beis Hamikdash. Istani tani. Those who say b'simchas shloim akosam medaber. They're talking about the joy of bringing karbanos. Now here the gears is a little bit messed up. It's remind the Marv Simchas Lulav Hakosim Medaber. He said something about Lulav. Okay, it works out. Beyond Mishon Dvar Torah. That means that the first day is Dvar Torah everywhere, both inside Beis Hamikdash and beyond the Beis Hamikdash. Vishal Kol Yomim Dvar Torah. And the other 7 days, the other 6 days is also precedent of Daraisa in the Beis Hamikdash, right? Albeit not in the countryside of the Beis Hamikdash. So then Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Maskin al Dvar Torah, he made a commemoration for Daraisa, which is to have the Beis Hamikdash, to have the Lulav of all 7 days, even beyond the Beis Hamikdash. However, Ma'adamar b'simcha shlomi makosim medaber, you said this pasuk of v'smachtim v'nei v'shem v'kechem shivas yomim, it's all about the joy of shlomi. So if that's the case, b'yom rishon dvar toira. In that case, we only have a source, even the Beis HaMikdash, for only 1 day of lulav. The Rashi said there's nowhere where lulav is taken 7 days, only 1 day. Because the pasuk says 7 days referring to shlomi, not to lulav. So that's the case. What's Rabbi, if we find that when there was a Beis HaMikdash, that they took a lulav of 7 days, the other 6 days, Shakurami would at best be Midivrei, Midrabbanan, right? There was no Doraisa the other 6 days. So that's the case. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Memaskin al Divrei, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a commemoration for the Rabbanan. Had a base of the story made a commemoration for a practice itself in the base mission. This is the only Drabbanan. The Yesh Haskanah, Achar Haskanah. It's like Xero, right? He's going to make a Takona, Tabit Takona. It doesn't make any sense. And the Gemara stops there. It doesn't give an answer. Rechavraya Bon Kumi Rabbi Yona. The Chavraya asked for Rabbi Yona.
Hech ma diot omar. What do we say here? Do we say all 7 days that the lulav pushes off Shabbos? Just like you say, v'krafti mishel Hashem shivas yomim. So sacrifice to God 7 days. Ain't shilo Shabbos, and there's no 7 days without Shabbos, and therefore that korban pushes off Shabbos. The kavos saw. So to what it says, "Smalti v'nei Hashem v'kerem shivas yomim, ain shivlo Shabbos." Let's say there's no 7 days out Shabbos, and let's say lulav pushes off Shabbos. Omer Lanzi said no. Shani d'chsiv, here it's different because it says "Lukachtim l'chem b'yom rishon." It says take lulav on the first day. In other words, it's true. It says in the Beis HaMikdash 7 days, but even the Beis HaMikdash is the difference between the first day and the other 6 days. Right? Because in the Beis HaMikdash it says, Lukachtem Lachem Yom Rishon, Chilek HaRishon Mehem. The first day is distinct from the other 6 days. And therefore, Lulav only pushes off Shabbos if it comes out on the first day, not in any one of the other 6 days. Says more, okay. Me'atam Mikdash Yidche Begulin Lo Yidche. Let's say that, since we're drawing distinctions, so let's say that if that's the case, in the Beis HaMikdash, let's say it's Derech HaShabbos, but not outside the Beis HaMikdash, not in the hinterlands. Rabbi Yehuda said no. Iluksim were to have said on the first day, about the first day, Lukachtem, Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem, take before your God, your Lord, the Lulav, which is in front, in the Beis HaMikdash, and you say, Omer Kamiyet. It only means here. Some change of gears of Shari Teres Yisrael. Kan Reba Mokamacher Miet. The same idea. What it means is perhaps only in the Beis HaMikdash can you defile Shabbos on when the first day Sukkos comes out on Shabbos, but not anywhere else. Ella, but it doesn't say that. It says Lukachtem Lechem, which says take for you on that first day. That means Mikomakom, and this we learn that Lulav is Derech Shabbos wherever. Okay. And then, the other 6 days, which are not Derech HaShabbos, those are Taka only Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash, the Raisa. But the first day is Derech HaShabbos, wherever it falls out, regardless of Beis HaMikdash or Yerushalayim.
So when did the Takana not take it on Shabbos? Well, the
truth is that I don't even know if the Baal Yerushalmi ever had such a Takana. Because I think that's a Xera de Rabba. It's Rabbi Zer Shemi Yavren Arbam Shusa Rabbi. They might take 4 hours to surround me. I think the Yushalmi holds much more. It's possible Yushalmi holds till the very end that they did do it on Shabbos. Mm-hmm. It's not clear to me that Yushalmi had such a gzera. I don't know. I've told you the far one of the strangest things once, I was in Toronto for Sukkot once, and I actually saw a guy walking down the street with a lulav and esrog on Shabbos. And so my grandmother told me, yeah, the conservatives, they take lulav and esrog on Shabbos. It's so from. Yeah, it's a gewaltig, you know. So, since they don't, so,
what about the Hakam of Eretz Yisrael, where this everyone recognizes an
area
that they don't use?
No, because Xeri might come to be a place to Shusarabim. That's the point. That's the Xeri. Chevrai, Amri, Chevrai said, Divi Rabbi Yisrael, Shemitzah, Sasei, now they want to say that according to Rabbi Yossi, indeed the mitzvah d'oraisa of taking lulav pushes off the mitzvah lo sase of carrying in Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos. That's why, that's in fact the way to interpret our mission. That's why Rabbi Yossi said, right? It's, Rabbi Yossi said potter, right? It's a conservative Jew, Rabbi Yossi, right? So that's why he said potter, because it's because he holds an aseis doch lo sase. Amon Rabbi Yossi, so Rabbi Yossi that Amora said no, lo minato. That's not the reason. Eliminado. The truth is, what really Rabbi Yossi is coming to argue is not apparent from the Gemara itself. What the Achronim, the Gilin Ephraim, Shai Torah Tzitzrol explains that the Chevraya thought that Rabbi Yossi only holds that Lulav pushes off the mitzvah says, "Dochelosa say if you have, as you said before, you have not yet been yotze the mitzvah." It's before the fact. When you want to take lulav, you take lulav in Rishus HaRabim. So I say dochelosa say. What Rabbi Yossi, the Amor is trying to prove is Rabbi Yossi, the Tana, was saying even after the fact, even after you fulfill the mitzvah, if you go out and you carry lulav Rishus HaRabim, you're potter. Why? Because you are toeh bidvar mitzvah. You think you're doing a mitzvah, even though it's not a mitzvah at this point. And therefore you're exempt from korban and from punishment. And that's what he says, lo minado minado. And what lo minado minado means usually is, not from this, but from that. But here what lo minado means is really something else. It means, not only this, but even this. Lo ze ab ze. Not only this, but even this. Dom Rabbi Eel, in other words, not only where you have not been Yotze, but even where you have not been Yotze. Dom Rabbi Eel said, V'tani tamo, we learned over there, Kachi Yarminak B'Yushalayin, the meaning of Yushalayim was Adam Oil Chabes HaKnesses. First goes to Shul, V'lov HaBiyod, he holds the love of his hand. Kari Yes HaShemai, reads HaShemai, V'lov HaMitzpah, when he dabbles, V'lov HaYod, he's holding the love of his hand. Nicholas Vakas, the Holy, comes to visit the sick, V'lov HaYod, he holds the love of his hand in his hand. Lost is his cap over Likros Batoyo, if he comes to Duchan, or to learn to read Torah, no suchavero, he gives it to his friend because he cannot hold it. However, the bottom line is that there was a continuous, at least in Yerushalayim, there was a perspective of a continuous mitzvah throughout the day. So even though you were already Yotze, the mitzvah, you can continue, you carry the lulav. And that carrying the lulav is because you think it's a mitzvah. I mean, it is a mitzvah, but you think you're allowed to go Rishus HaRabim with it, right? So therefore you're exempt, even though once you're Yotze, if you carry Rishus HaRabim because of Toeh Bidvar Mitzvah, you think that you're doing a mitzvah, even though you're really not at this point. Okay? Now, Hinichu Bartz also Talto. The next few lines till the end of the page are very questionable, what exactly they mean. So I'm giving you, just to be intellectually honest, I try always to be intellectually honest, I don't know if I succeed, but try intellectually honest, to be intellectually honest with you, the pshat I'm going to give you right now is my pshat. It's not the Korban Eda, it's not the Pnei Moshe, it's not anybody I could find, but it makes the most sense to me, and that's why I'm doing it. Okay? Yinichu Baretz also the Tatlo. If you put it down on the ground, you're forbidden to carry it. Now this is talking about even according to the Rishon Rei, it's talking even about Yontif. Once you put the lulav down, it's mukta for the rest of the day. If you're on Shu'ush line, you carry it around as much as possible, right? But if you're not on Shu'ush line, once you put it down to Muktzah, why? Because what use does it have? It's hooked to the mitzvah, so it's designated for the mitzvah of Sugi Lulav. You can't use it in order to, you know, to sweep your floor, right? So, Amravi Avin Zosemeshu Asabanoi, it teaches us of Lulav is Asabanoi, except for the mitzvah. For any other benefit, it's prohibited. Tani, we learn Metaltin, this is not like the following cases. Tani, Metaltin, Atzi Besomi, Lariach Ben, Lachola Beshabbos. You'll have to carry Besomi for a sick person to smell him on Shabbos. And Rabbanan the Ketzor Armin Arava Mutzor Lohani for the Kol B'Shabbos. And Arava, you're allowed to wave for a sick person on Shabbos. Now, of course, these are plants. And normally plants should be mukta. But since, I shouldn't say plants, but you know, cuttings from plants. But since they're for a purpose, you're allowed to do so. However, not Galulav. Now, our question is,
fascinating question. What about a sakin shamila on Shabbos when I have a bris milah to do? And I did the bris milah, can I use it afterwards to cut my fruit?
That's one question. You know, I want to use the milah knife. That's kind of disgusting. So I use it for some other purpose. Or I have matzah.
Interesting.
I have matzah of mitzvah. Shvura matzah. And I want to use it now, chveitz, to sweep my floor. Can I do that? Do you ever think of matzah that way? Matzah is not just a food. Matzah is actually, according to the Gemara here, it's a chefta shel mitzvah. I just went to Rogo Chavate, which says the exact opposite. It says there's no such thing as a shem matzah. It says, hey, matzah is anything which is mishtamer, that it shouldn't become lishma, that it shouldn't become chametz. But here you see matzah is actually a chefta of mitzvah. It's designated for the mitzvah. It's interesting. So, you can use your meal knife for your matzah on meal knife, obviously, on the day when you have bris meal on Shabbos, or your matzah on Pesach. You can use it for another purpose. So that which Rabbi Yochanan said, even if you finish the bris meal on Shabbos, and still go back and polish it up. Because of Zekeli Van Vey, you actually still go back and do the Hiddur Mitzvah. Now, if there's a little bit of strips of flesh, which you didn't get the first time, you go back and do it. So that means that the Mitzvah Milah is even, it ain't over when it's over. Because you can still go back and do it, right? Even on Shabbos itself. So that means the Milah knife remains Muktzah.
Oh, okay.
Because Muktzah for the entire day, right?
Only has one use, and that's for the
meal. Right. Now, if the meal had been over, so then I can say now it becomes a regular knife. It defaults down.
Even though at the beginning of Shabbos you didn't designate it for any other use except the meal?
Yeah, so what?
Don't you have to have it in mind?
No, it's a regular knife. So I can use it for another purpose, like a regular knife. But only if the mitzvah meal is over. Now, what you do see the Yushalmi, which is the Tzorech Yom Gadol, is that Yushalmi does not hold Muktzah Machmas Chesron Kis. Because in the Bavli, to move a Milah knife is considered to be Muktzah because it's so expensive. Mm-hmm. Anything which is very expensive, you miyachid lo mokum, you designate for it a place and you don't move it. So the Yushalmi, and so the Milah knife is very expensive. So Yerushalmi actually is going against that principle Muktzah Machmas Chesron Kis. You know, Muktzah Machmas Chesron Kis, candlesticks are Muktzah Machmas Chesron Kis. Anything very, very expensive or very, very heavy, which you wouldn't move because of its expense or because of its weight, is Muktzah Machmas Chesron Kis or Muktzah Machmas Gufo. Those are the two categories that you use to describe it. So Yerushalmi is obviously not going with this, because Yerushalmi holds that if the bris milah is over, you can use the knife. So obviously it's not a problem with chesron kis. The only reason Yerushalmi is you're not allowed to move the knife is because you can still use it for bris milah, because you can still go back and polish up. But otherwise you can use it. And says Yerushalmi after matzah came. Interesting. By matzah on Pesach, even what you have left over from the Seder, you can still fulfill a mitzvah by eating the matzah. It's not the required mandatory mitzvah, but we know that all the days of Yontif there's a mitzvah to eat matzah. But I think there's a raya for the Gra. What I just said is the Gra. The Gra says, Reb Tzadok and the Gra both say, it's a mitzvah to eat matzah all 7 days. Right? Because it says, Shivas Yomi Tocha Matzos, right? So even though we require the matzah only the first night, but it's a mitzvah to eat the other 7 days. So here's a makor for that. Because here we're saying, once you have matzah left over, it's still considered to be matzah's mitzvah. And you can't use it for any other purpose. Hi! What do you mean? The mitzvah's already over, right? But the Yerushalmi is saying that the mitzvah continues, just like by meal the mitzvah continues, just like by lulav the mitzvah continues. So you see from here, there's a mitzvah to eat matzah the entire 7 days. Because once it's mitzvah beyond the Seder, there's no qualitative difference between the rest of the first day and the entire other 6 days. Okay? That's a good rhyme. Okay. Halacha Yud Beis. A woman can accept the lulav from her son, from her husband, and put it back in water. B'Shabbos, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, B'Shabbos, L'Zirin Shabbos, put it back in water. B'Yontav Mosiv, and Yontav, you can add water. You can switch water. In other words, you can switch from whatever's in the pot and put in new water. Any child who has intellect to shake chay blua, he has to have lua because of chinuch. Yodel nane, if you have a child who knows how to shake lulav chay blua, then he has to take a lulav. Yodel isalivin, he knows how to wear tzitzis chay betzitzis, he has to take tzitzis. Yodel davar, he knows how to talk of even lamdo teira as far as the Yishma Torah. Yodel Yishmar Tziyonav, if he knows to preserve his hands betara, ochla Yodav Truma, so you can trust him, coin I guess, you can trust him to eat Truma. As Guva, once he knows to keep his body tohar, well, ochla Yaguva Taras, anything which touches his body, you assume to still be tohar. Avo, ain't all of the Ateo, but he cannot dam for the Oman, and as his copy cannot duchen, Vein omid al duchan, and he cannot stand on the duchan, which is part of the avoda in the Beis Hamikdash, ad shismal yizkan, until his pubic hairs are filled in. Now the Gulin Hashas points out. Well, actually, let me read it. Rabbi Omer v'kulem mi ben asim shana mal. It's only from when time is 20. Shemar v'yamidu es alvim mi ben asim shana v'malo v'natzeach amlechs beit hashem. They put the levim on the Beis Hamikdash once they were only once they were 20 years old. So let me explain. That means, according to the way Gilin HaShas explains, very interesting thing. There's actually a difference between duchening outside the Beis Hamikdash, duchening in the Beis Hamikdash. That's what Rebbe means to say. Duchening outside the Beis Hamikdash, you're going to do it for when he's 13. Duchening in the Beis Hamikdash, they wouldn't let the Kohanim do it until they were 20. Okay.
Because
Avoda, well, actually, the Kohanim didn't even start till they were 30. The Kohanim didn't start doing the actual Avoda until they were 30. But I guess Duchning, even Duchning, they didn't let them Duchen until they were 20 years old.
And what Levium, when did they start doing the
Avoda? I don't remember when Levium started. I want to say also 30, but I don't remember. I don't remember for sure.
Okay, new parak. Lulav Arava. The Lulav and Arava are Shisha Vashiva, 6 or 7 days, depending on which day is Shabbos. Because if Shabbos is the first day, then Lulav pushes off Shabbos, and 7 days. Arava pushes off Shabbos. If it's on any other day, it doesn't push off Shabbos. Ha'hal of a Simcha, but how and Simcha that Shemona, it's all 8 days. So, including Shemiyah Tzeres. Sukkah and Nisuch HaMayim, libating water. Shiva 7 days. Have Cholil to play the musical instruments, that's Chamisha, you can't do that on Sukkot, and you can't do it, I guess, on Shabbos either. So it's Chamisha Vashisha, sometimes 5 days, sometimes 6 days, depending on the considerable configuration. Lulav Shiva Keitza, now the Mishnah itself explains, where's Lulav 7 days? Chal Yotav Rishon Shachak, Chal is Shabbos, first day Yonda comes on Shabbos. Lulav Shiva, Lulav 7 days. Shachem, Lulav Shabbos comes on any other day, then it's only Shisha, it's only 6 days. Arava Shiva Ketzak, when is Arava 7 days? Yom HaShvi'i Arava Shachal Yez B'Shabbos, is the 7th day of Arava comes on Shabbos, then
we say that it's 7 days. Shiva, Vishakha, Imam Shisha comes in the other days, it's only 6 days.
They would beat the Arabas, they would say Komabasa, even on Shabbos.
Right.
Which only raises the question, why we have this discussion about lulav's done for Shabbos or not, and that before it shouldn't be related to this parak like the Bible does.
Well, because the Mishnah brought down before that they used to prepare it for Shabbos. It's more that the break between the program is artificial. And it's artificial, but Allah Chirav in the previous parak told us. Yeah, it's not perfect, the division to broken. Okay, Rabbi Zira, Rabbi Ila, and Rabbi Asa, B'shem Rabbi Yochanan all said HaRava, to do HaRava on the last day, Zalachal Moshe Misinai. Now, this means, you know, I don't know if the beating of the Rava is Aruch Moshe Mishinei, but to go around the Mizbeach, the Rava, and we, Zecher L'Mikdash, go around the Bima with an Rava, that was Aruch Moshe Mishinei. Lo Kabashol, it's not like Kabashol, the Abashol, may Rava for the Vartari, he holds Rava's the Raisel. Because he dashes, Arve Nachal, Arve is plural, Stein, it means two Aravas. Arava Luav, one Arava goes out. Luav, Arava Mikdash, one Arava the base of Mikdash. Rabbi Bar, Rabbi Chia, Bashar, Rabbi Yechanan said, Arava Venisu Chamaimal. Oh, it's explicit in Torah? What the difference is?
Yeah.
There's no major difference. Doesn't make a difference. Just. Yeah, but the both are rices. But the Rambam does have differences between Aruch Moshe Mishinei and an actual psukim. I don't remember what they are. But there are differences. I don't remember what nafkaminas are. There's certainly vis-a-vis based in his relationship with them, whether they can cancel them or not. I think it's easier to cancel. You can't cancel Aruch Moshe Mishinei, but you can cancel the drasha. Because Aruch Moshe Mishinei is given as is. A drosh is a tool that Beis Din uses, albeit to make it the raisa, but so it could be that that's, I think Aruch Moshe Mishinei, it's you can't turn over, but a the raisa you can. That's very more called correctly. Okay. Rabbi Simli, Rabbi Bar, and Ruchia, B'Shem Rabbi Yelan said, Arava, V'nisu Chamayim, Aruch Moshe Mishinei. Arava, and the libation was Nisu Chamayim, and that's Lok Rabbi Akiva. The Rabbi Akiva, Amar, Rabbi Akiva says it's in the Torah itself. He says, how do we know? Because B'sheni, the second day Pasukas, it says V'niskehem, extra mem. B'shishi says N'socheha, an extra yud. B'shik, we should put on an extra mem again. Yud, mem, yud. Which spells yud, mem. Mem, yud, mem. Mai spells water. According to him, it's alluded to in the Pasuk. Rabbi Chia Barbo, Rabbi Yochanan, very volatile question. Rabbi Chia Barbo asked for Rabbi Yochanan, V'achshav, Tav Yichesanav, Lame Yichoshim is Kenus. It's brought down as a local Moshe Mishinei by Natia, by saplings, that you can plow a field of saplings right until Erev Rosh Hashanah, before Shemitah. And that everything else you have to stop 30 days before, to add on from Chol HaKodesh. So if that's the case, fine. That works by saplings. But now they plow by older trees also till Erev Rosh Hashanah. Why do we allow that? Somebody said, look what he says. A fascinating answer, which I don't like. He says, B'shoah sh'nitnu halacha, when the halacha Moshe Mishinei was giving, l'kach nitna. It was given with a fudge factor. Sh'imbikshu l'achrosh yachrosh. That if they want to undo this halacha Moshe Mishinei, they can undo it. Now this is very strange, right? Isn't this very strange?
Mm-hmm. It's opening up Pandora's box.
Yeah, it's much worse than a Pandora's box. Sure. This is a conservative Judaism staring us in the face, right? So I have a different shot in this. Now, it's true I have to use a Mack truck to say this shot. But nevertheless, I feel it's imperative to say it. Which is, anyway, Shemitah B'Zanah says to Rabbanan. So what's he answering him? You could have just said, Shemitah B'Zanah says to Rabbanan. We're not Machmir. Since there's no more Yovel, so therefore Shemitah's not the Doraisa. So what does he mean? So I think what he means to say is that since Shemitah's Mizman is this Rabbanan, Chachamim does not have an imperative to enforce the Halacha Moshe Mishinei. The way he says, Chach Nitna, It means it was only given when it's a Doraisa. For when the Shemitah is Halachal is the Rabbanan, like with Manazeh, so the Halachal Moshe Mishnah need not be enforced. So what do you think, a scale of 1 to 10? With a what? Oh, a stronger engine? Yeah, he doesn't like it. It doesn't fit with the words very well, no. But that's what I would say, just in order to avoid the concept, because the concept is very, very difficult. I see that's so good in a shot quarter.
Well, it's just, what they're saying is just the opposite of what you expressed a couple minutes ago, because
yeah, but only here.
Because
Kach need not, this halacha was given with an escape hatch. Yeah, but otherwise it would be up the creek. So, but I don't, again, as I say, I didn't look up the Rash, the Gilin Hashas quotes here, Rash here. It says, Ayin Rash Vies, I didn't look it up. But again, yeah, as it's written, it's very difficult, and it's damn difficult because Shemitah's the Rabbani, you don't have to say it. So that's why I use that as a springboard to say that it could be that here, it's because it's the Rabbani, and that's why they didn't enforce it. Rabbi Bar Zavda B'Shem Rabbi Chunya, the Bras Chavron, it's a place, said, Arava, and Hoshan Rabba, Venisu Chamayim, the libation of the water, and Esenitios, and that you can plow saplings till Erev Rosh Hashanah, Miso Nevi'im, this is something which the Nevi'im did. It says Mar Mao Polik. He argues and says it's not Loch Shemesina that the Nevi'im made it. Well, how can the Nevi'im be Machadish Halach like this, especially Lakula, to plow until Erev Shemitah? Says my Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Moshe Levi said, no, kachis alocha b'yom, they had alocha from Sinai, ushkachua, and they forgot it. Vamdu ashnim, and then the later generations came, literally the second generation, but later generation, who were prophetic, v'skimo da'at yushayim, and they came to the same conclusion as the older generations. In other words, they were able to come up with these ideas, and then, in fact, it became clarified them either prophetically or because somebody else still had the tradition that these are in fact Moshe Mitzrayim. My medchah tells shekol shenaisin nafshem basin olea, anything that basin is moser nefesh, not literally, but in other words that they're very dedicated to, sofli sky biyodon, they're going to be able to sustain it. Kimash nemar l'moshe mitzrayim as if was said by Moshe Mitzrayim. In other words, a basin which is very dedicated is going to come up with answers which are as firm in Judaism as those that said Moshe Mitzrayim. V'asakido keido amar Aymana, goes like that which Aymana said, kilot of areku, the Torah is not an empty thing. And that's the pasuk. Aymana said, v'imreku, if it is empty, mikem. It's because you guys are empty. Why? V'lama she'ein atem yigem, because you're not toiling enough. Kiu chayechem, because it's your lifespan. Emosayu chayechem, when it's your life force, but when you toil in it. Now, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Rabbi Chia Barba, Rabbi Yochanan said Rabbi Chia Barba, Bavlaya, Babylonians, train me in Salkud B'yedchem. Two things you brought up from Bavel, and we like them. But that's it, only two.
That's why you didn't call them dark Babylon.
Yeah. What? No, we did it. Not these two.
Not these two.
Not these two. Or we had something else. Rabbi Yochanan said, I forgot, I thought Torah was ours, but it's really yours. But it wasn't about these two things here. He says, Mipshitusa Tanisa, because I don't remember this very else. The way he bowed down on Tainis. He says that we do it only on Yom Kippur. So that, you know, we prostrate ourselves on the ground. They only do it on Tainis, no other time of year. Can't just for a leinu on a weekday bow down prostrate to the ground, only on a tainis. Okay? Now we of course only do Yom Kippur because we have no true tainesim besides Yom Kippur. Farov to the Yom Shviyaya. And the other thing which you brought up is that Arava is the concept of Hoshana Rabbah. It wasn't Chazalic. It was actually brought up from Bavel, he says. Now of course in Eretz Yisrael they had in the Mizbeach, you know, when the Beis Hamikdash existed, but that after the Mizbeach was destroyed, there should be a concept of going around with Arava in, you know, around the Bima, that was brought from Bavel. It's an interesting concept, right? Rabban in the case, I mean, Af Hadam Mikazto also went to let blood. the Babylonians had a calendar, what days are good for bloodletting, what days are not good for bloodletting. I actually just saw somewhere. In fact, Mishdeka, I think I saw. There was a manuscript, an illuminated manuscript, which said, these are, in Hebrew, said, these are the days when the Chachmi are going to say it's bad to let blood. Because they obviously, the bloodletters knew certain days are bad because, I guess, because of the constellations. So Rabbi Yochanan says, that's something which brought up good from Bavel. That we know when to let blood and when letting blood is a danger. Of course, it's a danger any day, but, you know, what do they know that then? So Rabbi Simon commanded, here's a fascinating Gemara. Ooh, fascinating. Rabbi Simon commanded those who reckon the calendar, Yavun.com, pay attention. To Lot Abdun, you shouldn't make Lot Kiyos of Shabbos, not Rosh Hashanah come out on Shabbos. Flora Rav to Shabbos, not Hoshana Rab on Shabbos. V'in Archekun, and if you're pressed, in other words, one of them has to, Abdun Kiyosah, let Rosh Hashanah come out on Shabbos. Lot Abdun Aravosa, and don't make the Arav ever come on Shabbos. And that, in fact, is the way that our calendar works. That our Hoshana Rabba never, ever comes out on Shabbos. Right? Because we want to make the Zeichel HaMikdash, Rabbi Yochanan said, came up from Bavel. And the Taros and Sharisha in the back brings in here the Rashba. And the Rashba's language actually is that Hillel, who made the calendar, that's not in Shas. The calendar is made by Hillel Shani, is never in Shas, not Bavli, not Yerushalmi. I think it's Igeris or Shrira Gon. We know it from the Gonim. So this Hillel who made up the calendar, he actually took the advice of this Yerushalmi Tart and therefore made sure the calendar would never have Hoshana Rabbah come out on Shabbos.
So in that era, they were already fixing the calendar? They weren't relying on
It seems quite clear that at the time of the Amoraim, yeah, already they were at least reckoning how it should work, and then obviously there were Mikabel Aidim based on their reckoning. In other words, if they reckoned that it should come out different days, so they weren't
confirmed the reckoning rather than the reckoning.
Right, exactly. The chicken and the egg, right.
I don't recall that either.
No, I don't recall it either. But they weren't doing the months in Bavel. They were still relying on Eretz Yisrael the whole time because that's where the calendar was made. Right. Okay, that's all, folks. Thank you for this month.